May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Following Ash Wednesday, I was again struck by the symbolic power of making the sign of the cross on another's forehead and saying, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." From infant to octogenarian, people, both members and non-members, approached this altar rail to kneel before God and to receive the mysterious power of this sacramental act of grace. And even though I've been doing it for some 28 years now, I am still struck by that awesome act of grace. Perhaps for our community of faith, it was especially poignant because of the three deaths and burial offices that we have had together at St. John's since December. Through our grief with others, we have had to face our own mortality. We have also, though, been dramatically reminded of our faith in a God who does not let our deaths be our end, but through his Son receives us as his own in the kingdom of heaven. And that is what we celebrate every Sunday. That is what we acknowledge in the liturgy of the burial office. It is with that knowledge as well that there is the truth that God is in covenant with us. That holy agreement that God has made with each of you through your baptism and commitment to the Christian faith and life. A covenant, a holy agreement between God and a person, or God and people. On this second Sunday of Lent, we heard the familiar story of Abraham in the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, and the word Genesis literally means origin or beginnings. This is the book of our origins, our beginnings. It's the book of the stories that speak to humanity's relationship with Yahweh, with God, the God of the Jews that sought covenant with his people. When one studies Genesis, when one reads even a portion of Genesis, we see that God's nature is revealed. And not only is the nature of God revealed, but the kind of relationship that God expects with those in relationship with him. God mirrors to us that which God expects of our behavior and relationship with God. That mirror image is a powerful one. I don't know how many of you have been in my office here at St. John's, but one of the things that came with my office is an enormous mirror. It's a mirror that has been donated to the church and will eventually go into the Hughes House when it is fully restored. It's gigantic. And when I held a clergy day here in my first few months for the new clergy, and they wanted to see the facility, many of the clergy went into my office and thought that I had traveled from South Carolina with that mirror. And said, "That's interesting. He likes to see himself in full from every angle." And it's become sort of a running joke in the diocese. And yet that beautiful mirror reminds me often of not that we see our image in a mirror, but we see, when you look into a mirror, the very reflection of the face of God. Imago Deo. You are created in God's image, and you are created, each and every one of you, in all of our various appearances and beings. You are created to be in covenant with God. God mirrors to us what God wants us to be. Each day, the front page of the New York Times, USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, the Herald Leader, and lead stories on both network and cable news networks are filled with stories of leaders and ordinary citizens who have broken a trust, not kept their word, in essence, not kept covenant. And although these tragic stories usually are front page news and lead stories, there seems to be a growing expectation, if not acceptance, in 21st century America, and perhaps the world, that honesty and covenant keeping is just a grand illusion. However, even a cursory look at Scripture, even a brief reading of passages from Genesis, give us a different understanding and expectation from God. Yahweh, God, is concerned from the very beginning with a relationship that is based upon the power of covenant, a holy agreement, a holy promise between humanity and God. The English word covenant suggests legal restrictions. However, the biblical understanding of covenant is that bond which unites us and covers all kinds of human relationships, one to another and with God. God says to Abram in a vision, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be." On that day, we hear the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates." Loving and holy relationships are based upon the word and trust of covenant, often sealed by a sign. For Abram, it was the changing of his name to Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah. And later, it was circumcision of God's chosen people. With Noah, it was the rainbow in the clouds. In Christian marriage, it is the wedding band that we wear, the sign of the covenant between God and two people. With Jesus, it is the bread and the wine in Eucharist. These 40 days of Lent evoke powerful images of days spent listening to God, discerning God's will for you, journeying in the desert places of your lives, and the 40 days that we remember that Jesus spent in the wilderness fasting and being tempted by Satan. A representation of all of that which you and I are tempted with each and every day. On Ash Wednesday, whether you were able to be present or not because of work or other obligations, or whether you were in another community of faith receiving ashes, all of us were invited by me as your rector to the observance of a Holy Lent. It was to you, whether you were here or not, physically. Lent focuses upon covenantal theology. Covenant is a central biblical theme in understanding that relationship that God has and expects with each of us. In just a few minutes, we will receive around this holy altar of St. John's the bread and wine, the sign of the ultimate covenant that God has made with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a great privilege and blessing. So we continue to journey these 40 days. Reflect. What is the place of covenant in your life? Consider, are you a person that keeps covenant, maintains this honesty and truth? Ask, are you a person of your word? Pray that Christ renews and strengthens you to keep God's covenants. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Or as we heard beautifully sung by our choir, the psalmist's words from today, you speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Amen.